Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
We got to hurry up and get out the door. We got to get in. We got to get the second service in, the third service in. What are we trying to do? Create Disney World? Or do we want a church where we meet God at a bloody mess and we say, God, here I am, a sinner. Deal with my heart. Don't let me leave the same way I came in.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's continue on with Pastor Rogers in this new Wednesday night sermon series. This is By Faith. This is part two from that series. Let's go into the message today.
As I've been in, introducing us and the program to pastors and churches, this is what smote my heart. You're the only service so far with an altar call. Thank you for calling the whole program down. We needed that. I'm not saying that to boast me. I'm saying to you, my dear friends, that we are living in a time where church has become simply informational push and there is no meeting God. We got to hurry up and get out the door. We got to get it. We got to get the second service in, the third service in. What are we trying to do? Create Disney World? Or do we want a church where we meet God at a bloody mess and we say, God, here I am, a sinner. Deal with my heart. Don't let me leave the same way I came in. That's why we'll have altar calls. That's why you need to get up and get your family and go to the altar with them. Get your kids used to going to the altar. Did you hear what I said? Because when you're dead and gone, they need to know how to pray. There was a movie that came out. I can't remember the name of it. It had to do with going in outer space, and one Hollywood star that is in outer space or whatever, and the line in the movie, I didn't see the movie, but I saw this clip. The line in the movie, as she is out in outer space trying to figure out how to get the ship right and how to fix the problem that she's in. And it's supposed to be a time way out in the future. She makes this statement, and it's an indictment upon this generation. She says, nobody taught me how to pray. My friends, worship is not about getting pumped up in our feelings on Sunday morning through music or any other. Anything we do is simply a venue, a channel, a pipeline, a means of worship that God gives to us, a tool from lights and video and sound and all that kind of stuff is to help be able to enhance it. But true worship comes from the heart of a true worshiper who makes an altar before God. Come on, somebody. I needed to get that to you. I hope you receive what I just said. So why does God accept Abel's offering and rejects Cain's? Well, it's on your paper right here. Because it involves blood. And a sacrifice, not of his hands, it actually reveals the seriousness and helps Abel to understand the seriousness of the cost of his sin. Abel knows what God demands for the forgiveness of sin, and he acts upon the knowledge that God gives to him. He saw his daddy Adam build an altar. I'm talking about after he's thrown out of the garden. At one time, we walked with God in the cool of the day and we had close fellowship. But because of our sin, that cast us out. Now I've got to work the ground and I've got to be able to build an altar. So boys, I'm going to show you Abel and I'm going to show you Cain how to be able to worship God. And they see their daddy putting it together and they get an animal. Come on, how does Adam know that? How does Adam know that stuff? Because it was God who slew the lamb and took the lamb's coat and put it as a covering upon Adam and Eve, not fig leaves, and there was blood shed. And what's the point? Without the shedding of blood, there is no repayment, no remission of sin. And so they learned from their daddy how to build an altar. There is so much in this. How to build it. They watched him. These are young boys. They watch him. They watch their daddy pray. They heard their daddy pray. They watched him slay the lamb. He says, this is the way you're supposed to do it. This is what God told me. This is what we're going to do. A lamb for a house. And they slay that lamb. He watches. So now it's their turn. One man, Cain, brings a salad and missed the daddy's lesson. Abel watched with intensity and from his heart gets the best of the flock that he raised himself. That if he was going to sit down and eat that lamb's meat, it would have been the very best of the flock. Not a second, not a third. It would have been the very first off the top. It would have been the tithe. It would have been the best offering. He would have examined that lamb. He would have examined the sacrifice to make sure that he wouldn't offend a holy God. And when Abel came before the presence of God, it wasn't his hard work that got him there. Because Cain says in his own heart, my sins aren't so bad, so I'm going to bring you what I want to bring you. Come on, somebody. My good works are enough. Preacher, you're judging me. Every time I come to church, you say something that puts me on. That's the reason why I'm finding another church. Does it happen? Oh, it happened Sunday. As soon as one man walks in the door and sees my wife in the pulpit, he don't like women preachers, gets up and leaves. Well, guess what? You didn't read the Bible. Deborah started, she was a judge. Come on, somebody. The woman at the well that Jesus taught the lesson of worship to turned around, went back in the city and started a revival in Samaria. Besides that, my wife can preach. Come on now. In offering his own hands and his own works, I'm telling you, Cain represents the good works of people to this day. Many hardworking, moral people come to worship every week in different churches, and they offer their works as an offering of sacrifice to God, having no idea that according to Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, that everything they're offering is a filthy rag. I don't have the ability to stand here. You can read it for yourself. That filthy rag has serious connotations to it. And so with that, God accepts Abel's sacrifice because Abel is coming to him saying, all of my good works are not enough. So to please God in my worship, I've got to remember what the Bible says. I just quoted to you that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So let me make it clear here as we move forward. We can live good moral lives, attend church every week, pay our tithes, but all of that together never constitutes worship that is acceptable to God. Not for our sin. Unless we worship God on the basis of the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, then all of it, God rejects it as an order that he didn't order. Are you with me? So let's take the next step, because the next step in this is, first of all, the right sacrifice. You got to have the right sacrifice. Second of all, you got to have the right spirit. And this is where it gets deep, because the Bible says that Abel offers up an acceptable sacrifice and Cain offers up something that God rejects. Now watch how this is, because the wrong sacrifice is really only a symptom of a deeper problem. So write it down. Worship is always a matter of the heart, and Cain's heart was not right. Now, a wise pastor many years ago, let's just call him the Pastor Emeritus, told me, Brother Rogers, don't you ever preach for the outside. You preach for the inside. Pass the emotions, pass the physical, and you preach to the spirit. Because all issues are never the emotions or the fears or all that kind of stuff. It has to do with the heart of an individual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it becomes extreme. How do I know it's of the heart? Because he offers to both of them the opportunity to offer up the right sacrifice and the right spirit. So the deeper thing is, God rejects the sacrifice of Cain straight out. And what is the reaction? How can I know it's a matter of the heart when I am confronted with the Word of God, confronted with teaching or preaching, or a Christian brother who is concerned about me, who asks a question, and this is what happens in Genesis 4 and 5. It becomes obvious when God rejects Cain's offering that Cain becomes angry. When you get angry at the things of God, taught or preached, and I've seen people sling scriptures all over the place at people, acting like they're real spiritual all over social media. But I got news for you. When you're seeing that take place, many times, my dear friends, it's dealing with a deeper issue. If Cain, listen to this. Look at the mercy and the grace of God right here. If Cain really wanted to please God, he would have humbled himself at that moment, left the altar, went and returned with a proper sacrifice of a lamb, and the Bible says God would have accepted him. You give God what he ordered, and God will accept you no matter who you are. Stop with this comparison thing. Well, look at them. They're more blessed than I am. God said, I have no respecter of a person. I'll bless you like anybody else, but you got to give me the right sacrifice with the right spirit. And ultimately, God is digging into your heart to check your spirit. Because you can drag a lamb to the sacrifice and you can go through all the form, but if your spirit's not right, can you see it? I don't know. I have it play out in the video of my mind. There's a lot of people that drag their sacrifice in. Come on, somebody lift your hand. You got to make somebody lift their hand. At the game, they're all this. Woo! At the concert, hey. Come into church, and they stand like wooden Indians. Come on, somebody. Y'all better say amen. I'm coming up there. Well, I'm worshiping God. No, there's a heart problem somewhere. And I'm not saying you got to do it like I do it, but you do have to do it like he says do it. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. How does he want me to do it? Well, with the lifting of the hands, with the shouting, with the clapping, with the singing, with the dancing, with the speaking in tongues. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, constitutes that sacrifice when done with a pure heart. But I can see some folks dragging their sacrifice in. They get in, and because they feel obligated, they're not there because of love, they're there because of law. They're afraid their mama's going to call them up and said, why aren't you in church? They drag that sacrifice in. Whop, there you go. What else do you want? Let me say to all of you that want to try to write a check of tithes and offerings and think somehow you're going to buy God. You don't have enough money and neither do I. In fact, all the money of this church and 10,000 other churches is not enough money to purchase what Jesus did on the cross. So away, in fact, if you want to find out what that's all about, Peter flipped around and said to Simon, who wanted to buy the Holy Ghost, to hell with your money and you. You can't buy this. You'll never buy this. This is a priceless thing that Jesus did on the cross so that everyone, both president, pauper, the poor, the rich, the free, the bond, the black, the white, the Hispanic, can come to the altar on flat ground and everybody can be accepted just like they are. Somebody ought to praise God for that right now.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.